uniqueness of New England and the weather here. But it was a couple months ago when I was thinking of coming and sharing and praying for you all that something started just coming into my heart. Some thoughts started stringing together, and it kind of stimulates from a book I read about 20 years ago. And I don't know if this will irritate you. How many have put away their Christmas decorations? Or how many have not? Okay, we've got, oh, good, good. So there's going to be a couple people that are going to be okay with what I have to share. Because this text, if you saw in the bulletin, you're going, wait a minute, this isn't December. But this book that I read was by Dr. Jack Hayford, and it's called The Merry Miracle. And so I want to give him credit for a lot of the thoughts that I have to share. In fact, I was thinking, you know, really, I'm not sure I share many original thoughts. It's really, we're just a deposit as we saturate ourselves with mentors and different people that come through our life, and when we receive it, and then what we receive, we give out, right? And this really impacted me deeply 20 years ago. And so I want to take the risk of possibly irritating you a little bit and going back to this text and kind of look at Mary and see, is there something about that interaction that God had with Mary that maybe could speak to us today? Is there something in what happened back there that maybe we could get inspired in what maybe God wants to do with us? Was that just an event that brought about the miracle of Christmas, Jesus? Or was there something in that whole dialogue, in that whole interaction, that maybe was a model of the way God works? You know, I am so thrilled to be here with my wife. For those that didn't hear, for the past 15 months, she and I haven't lived with each other much. Now, it isn't because of marital issues. It's because the Lord gave me an assignment that took me away and put me in Atlantic City, New Jersey, after Hurricane Sandy, and she was in Nashville with her mother. But it's great to be here. But she's also not only my wife, she's the mother of four beautiful children. And now they're all adults. But maybe it's because, you know, we went together. I know she was the one that was pregnant, but I was involved. And maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because, for many of you know, that I served in Hong Kong with a wonderful ministry called Mother's Choice. That's how we all got to know each other over 20 years ago when I was with that ministry. And it was a ministry to care for girls that got involved in an unplanned pregnancy. And so that was the mission, to be the hands of love in those types of situations and to care for those children. Maybe it's all that I am so fascinated by the whole conception, the pregnancy, because that's the core. That's just at the basic essence of life. And, you know, when you think of a lot of activities that we're involved with. Richard gave us a great example. He and his company have been working on something. It started with an idea, a thought. And it started accumulating some material and some substance. And they're about ready to release something that has been in process, hidden away, but now is going to roll out. And you could almost say that that's kind of a like a pregnancy, a conception, an idea. Someone starts a business. Someone wants to say, hey, we want to start a new church. We want to start a new work. It's all about receiving an idea and getting saturated with those thoughts and then bringing it forth. So there's something here that I think in how God works that I'd like for us to pause and consider. Now, when I was asked what the title of the sermon, I went to Louise, and I thought, now I don't want to give a title that would be offensive, because really what I wanted to say this morning, the title that I would have used is, I want to get you pregnant. But that probably was not a good way to start our relationship in this season. So I thought get ready to receive was a little bit better. Okay, so I didn't use that other one. But I really do want to inspire us this morning, because I'm really excited about where we're at. And I include me and we, because I'm a part of WPC. And this year, I believe, is going to be a historic year for us. It's the beginning of something new. It's going to be a turning point where you're going to look back at the history of this church and the life of this, and there's going to be something really remarkable about 2014. I really believe it. But what excites me even maybe more is I believe that there's something in each of us, that God wants to start something new in us, that maybe he wants to bring to us and say and kind of pronounce and come as Gabriel did to Mary and say, this is what's going to happen. Let's read this scripture. Oh, I can read it from there. I don't need my glasses. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. You know, this whole chapter of Luke is really a story of two pregnancies. And I didn't read the first one, but let's just kind of ponder I'm going to put this down if that's okay. The first pregnancy came to Elizabeth. Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, listen, there's something that is going to take place here. And he pronounced something to a woman that had gone years, who had lost the hope of pregnancy. Back then, man, it was a real stain on your reputation not to bear a child. It was considered shameful. And there's years that Elizabeth had gone through and endured. Probably hope had disappeared of ever bearing a child. And probably maybe a resigned contentment had kind of come in. So that was the environment of when the angel came to Zechariah. Here's a man, says, well into his years, doing his normal stuff, and there was an interruption by this visitation and this announcement of something that's going to happen. And we're going to ponder Zechariah's response as opposed to Mary's response. But then the angel comes to Mary. She's going along her duties, probably just a normal day. Interrupts what's happening in her. Unexpectedly announces, hey, listen, you're going to be with child. Now, the pregnancy is, I think, in what this shows is God is saying, I want to bring my purposes. These were both natural acts, but they represented more than that. They represented the heart of God saying, I want to bring something to be brought through to touch the world. He wanted to bring to Mary, to Elizabeth, his dream, his purposes, his ideas. They were going to reside in them, so they were involved. There was going to be impact to both ladies, different impact. You know, I don't know, did Elizabeth's friends all rejoice? I imagine they did. So there was probably maybe dancing in the streets. I don't know. But certainly not Mary. So there was an impact to them to be used as an instrument to be bring forth his purposes to touch the world. See, God wants to do things in us. He wants to do something in us corporately that isn't just about us. His purposes are always bigger than that. His purposes are always broader than that. He wants to come and visit us. He wants to impregnate us with his plans so that we can be a part of his miracles, so that we can be a part of his blessings, so that we can be a part of his purposes of touching others around us and beyond us. Now, pregnancy has an aspect, as we know, of great intimacy. And I think that it's okay to pause here and say, you know what, I don't want to miss that God used Mary in this way. That he brought his child through her womb, because God it's not a system of belief. It isn't, religion isn't just a sterile set of ideas. Really, this story is about an intimate desire that God has to be intimate with us. And sometimes I think that there's this membrane separating our intellect and our heart. And we live within our intellect. We live within the comfort of, okay, let's do the program of church. Let's do the activities and miss that it's about an intimate love relationship. It's a love story. Now, Zechariah, in response to this announcement, I think was really of unbelief. I think his response was, you know, this can't happen. How's this going to happen? And Gabriel says, I've stood in the presence of God. I'm coming with God's authority, the creator of heaven and earth. It does something here in this moment that I've pondered about, and I can't prove it, but I wonder if there wasn't a benefit to Elizabeth for Zechariah losing his voice. I wonder. Because I think this, who knows, When I was serving in China with my wife, we had the privilege of handing little babies into the arms of parents that came from the United States that had faced the journey of infertility. And they were not necessarily, you know, there were a lot of them were the average age was in their 40s. And that's considered maybe later in life to bear a child or to be have an infant. And I would often see the pain in those eyes. Even though they know that this is an amazing day and the tears would flow. And sometimes the tears went beyond just the excitement of having this child in their arms. But it was still tears of the pain of having walked through hopelessness, walking through years of disappointments. And I just wonder, and I can't prove it, but I wonder if there wasn't a little bit of a side blessing of Elizabeth having to just go through this unexpected journey of now being pregnant later in life with her husband kind of silent. Just, you know, maybe he had kind of gotten his focus right. Maybe he still was struggling. I don't know. But I think it wasn't just a random, like, discipline or God just kind of showing how strong he is. I think there was a purpose in it. And I think it's okay to just kind of ponder that. Because I believe that some of us can identify with Zachariah and Elizabeth. You know, because what I'm suggesting here in God coming and impregnating us with his purposes and ideas, I don't want to just tell you some stories of myself when God said, when I was in Hong Kong, for example, and I was seeing so many older children left in impersonal institutions. And an idea came to me. Man, I wish we could provide a home for some of these kids. And that idea began like something of a germination inside of me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then I put more thoughts to it, and I said, yeah, a small group village of three homes with house parents and kids, and these kids could at least feel what it's like to be cared for intimately with a mom and a dad. And eventually, we started those homes. And that's what I believe the miracle of Mary is saying, God saying, I want to bring forth my purposes. Posture yourself. Get ready for something like that. But I also want to scale it down. Yeah, I don't remember the year, but I believe it was something like 1987 or 88 that God really showed me that I had a real problem with anger. And it was a time when I was out just walking with him, and there was a warm breeze blowing, and it was impacting me. And there was just this sense of the felt presence. You know what I'm talking about? You know, your awareness of God is just a little bit more acute in that moment. And I just felt, as this warm air was coming and breathing on me, is that God was saying, I want to take and bring real release in this area. Anger. I felt at that moment that I was receiving an impregnation of thought that I could really get set free from this. There's areas in that you could probably say, yeah, there's an area over here that I worked on a long time. And maybe you can really identify with Zachariah and Elizabeth saying, I've hoped, I've prayed, I've gone through counseling, I've read all the books that have to deal with it, but I'm still not seeing any form to it, any progress, any change. And maybe, just maybe, you're getting comfortable with that. about that status that I think possibly Zechariah and Elizabeth. They probably got comfortable with where they were at. And I'm suggesting to you today that God is drawing us and inviting us to a posture and a position to receive. Mary. You know, who was Mary? What was she like? Average age of wedding of a girl in that day and age was between 12 and 14. Was she size 4 or size 16? Was she pretty or was she average? Was she, when the angel encountered her, was she sitting in a meadow of flowers and drinking tea? Or was she sweating and carrying out a bucket from the cattle stall? I think it's kind of important to just pause here and just really start really just asking ourselves, who was she? Because I think the temptation is to distance ourselves with people like this. Or to think that, you know, really, the Lord, of course, chose Mary because of her family background, of her position, of her status. You know, I was always tall growing up. So when we were kids on the playground getting picked for teams, I'd usually get picked first. And then we'd go play basketball, and then the next time they picked, they wouldn't pick me first. They'd say, you know, looks can be deceiving. But was she one that would be most likely to be picked? Well, it goes on in verse 29. We said Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this would be. I'm not trying to impose too much, but I'm just pondering here. I don't know if she would be in greatly troubled if she was expecting it. Of course. Yeah, of course this would happen to me. This was what I was prepared for. No, I honestly think she was pretty shocked. I think she was genuinely going, oh my. There's a verse later in the chapter 48 the Song of Mary, when she says, he has considered my humble state. I don't think it's too of a stretch to really believe that she was an ordinary person. And it's not discrediting her by saying that. But it's almost, it gives us hope. Because I think too often we discredit ourselves. That God is in really wanting to engage something of new life. He wants to bring something in us. He wants to touch us. It's a beautiful picture, as Mary says, how is this going to happen? Mary's response wasn't a belief, but it was just curious. Saying, what's going to take place? What can I expect? There was something that was touching her core, and there was a hunger inside and a receptivity saying, now how's this going to happen? I love Gabriel saying, the Lord is going to overshadow you. It's not going to be what you do. It's what God does. And that is what gives us freedom. Now, Mary had to be a part of this. And her response is so beautiful. Be unto me. I receive. I participate. We don't have time to contemplate what must have flashed through her mind. because she knew that from this day on, I will never be the same. Pregnancy has a physical impact. It changes the way you walk, right? Longer it goes, it doesn't necessarily get easier. There's that first trimester of pregnancy when you could be sitting next to someone and you don't even know they're pregnant. And there's that isolation, so to speak, of I'm carrying something, but there's no form. I carry this hope, but there's no sign of progress. I listen to this or I read this book and I'm inspired to believe that God wants to touch me, that God wants to speak to me, that God wants to change something about me, and I receive it. And I have this amazing encounter like Mary. Amazing encounter with Gabriel. And then I think it was so wise of her to go next to another miracle in process. Because, you know, miracles, we often think that they're just instantaneously. Well, if that was to happen, then, you know, Mary wouldn't have been needed. But no, miracles are often a journey, a process. And they aren't all fun and, you know, happy times. You know, I remember some of those moments during my wife's journey. And she wanted every one of those children, but sometimes there was not the happy moments. Particularly towards the end. And it's that kind of a dynamic that I believe that God is saying, this is the way I work with you. I bring to you an idea, a statement, a vision of what I want to do in you. How I want to bring new life in you. And we receive it. But then begins the journey. I believe Mary knew the cost. How many of her friends would never speak to her again? Because there would be always that stain. I don't know if Mary even had hope for Joseph sticking around. And he almost didn't, as we know. If it wasn't for divine intervention, she would have been a single mother. What would her parents think? And it was so wise of her to get close to another miracle in process. So she went off and was hung out with Elizabeth in her last trimester. And there was this connection with those two ladies going through a similar process of letting the purposes of God work in them. It's so essential that we cluster together like we're doing this morning. Because you may be in process right now in your first trimester of an idea. I could be set free from this addiction. I could have a job. God has something inside of me for another country. And I don't know how that's going to happen. All these different visions and ideas, much of which is God breathed. And we receive it. And maybe you're in the process of, wow, it's been a long time since I've sensed that real voice of God speaking to me. And I'm at a point where I don't know if it's going to happen. And I just pray, as we've contemplated this morning, that there would be something of a divine infusion of strength, a divine infusion of courage. Because as we look at Mary, you know, she went through a long period, 9 months, going through all the changes that a pregnancy, life didn't necessarily get easier. Putting on her shoes 6-7 months into it wasn't as easy as it was 6 or 7 months ago. All the uncertainties, all the changes. Is it going to be easy for WPC as we go through the change? There may be moments where life is uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. Is there easy moments for us as we receive what God wants to do in us individually? No. There's going to be moments of difficulty, moments of uncomfortableness. But may we posture ourselves, because I tell you, there's no other way to live. Because it's the way of intimacy. It's the way of the love story. I am so excited. I have that excitement that I saw in my wife's eye when she announced to me that she was pregnant with Laura, our first one. There was this sense in her eyes that was complex. It was like, wow, this is what I've been created to do. I would suggest today, you have been created. You bear His image, God's image. You were created to receive from Him. You were created to bring forth His purposes, to touch the world. I have a prayer in my heart I'd like to pray over us. Lord, as we contemplate Your word this morning, as we consider the Almighty God that would stoop from heaven, like the psalmist says, to be involved in our lives, some of it is just too wondrous to believe. There's a saying that we've often talked about, Lord, you know of it. If it's too good to be true, it's probably not. And this breaks that lie. God, you are too good to be true, but you are. Your love is fathomless. You love each of us. And we're imperfect, and yet you say, I want to do something in you. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would have the courage and the receptivity to receive what you want.